Excellent, or as we like to say,
Lincoln Inspired is more than just an arts festival, more than a literary festival, more than a whole set of lifestyle opportunities, and more than what the world has needed for millennia. To see just how much more Lincoln Inspired can make you, go to lincolninspired.co.uk and explore the inspiration.
And welcome to Lincoln Inspired, as we're just joined by the fabulous Claire Margerison, who's also making her debut on the programme today, and will probably find a seat as well. Michael Blackburn, welcome back to the programme. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, thanks. Nice
Marvellous.
To be back.
And welcome back, Julie Ellaby. How are you, Julie?
I'm very well, thank you.
Excellent. And welcome for the first time to Lincoln Inspired, to a terrific triumvirate of wonderful, wonderful folk. We have writer and director of the winter show for the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. That would be the amazing Dominic Simmons. How are you, Dominic?
I'm good, thank you.
And we've got the equally talented and amazing, wonderful soul who is Tom Watson. How are you, Tom?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you.
And we have the soul who's actually giving you sessions, Tom, in terms of how to actually deal with a real, genuine Captain Hook. Yes, she believes in method acting carried to the nth degree. It's Charlotte Phage. How are you, Charlotte?
I'm good, thank you.
Is it Phage or Farge?
Phage.
Phage. Just want to clarify that. Okay, so we're all here to actually talk about one of the key features of this Lincoln-inspired Lincoln Performing Arts Centre special, which is, of course, as we say, the winter show, otherwise known, of course, as Peter Pan. Charlotte, you are Wendy.
Yes, I am.
So Wendy clearly has issues with respect to shadows and a range of other things that are sewn on all sorts of ways. This is based on the original play by J.M. Barrie. We're going to be speaking to Dominic, obviously, find out more about this whole sequence. But when you were first awarded the role of Wendy, was it a case of it's like winning the lottery?
To a certain extent, yeah. I was really, really happy with it because it's what I wanted and I got it. And so thanks, Dom.
Yeah, well, obviously he selected the best from a field of all sorts of others. I mean, Dominic, the rehearsal process, because we've talked with Julie in the past that one of these days, Inspired On Air, will actually follow you through the whole thing, like a bit of reality radio, really, and go through the agonies, the ecstasies, the, you know, we're hiring Anton Deck to actually say, never mind, it'll all work out through. But when you actually went through that casting process, What did you have in mind? Was it a case of you were trying to channel the Disney cartoon? Was it something else?
Well, actually, we're very open during the casting process because one of the fabulous things about writing your own show is that you can take inspiration from the cast. So we auditioned a host of students way back in about May. And at that time, of course, we knew what show we were doing. We knew we were doing Peter Pan, but the script hadn't been written, the songs hadn't been written, and so to a certain extent, we took guidance on that from what came in front of us. And we've ended up with what I think is a great show.
I must admit, I did manage to see last year's winter show, but I was very impressed with the Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe the year before that, which was very impressive from that perspective. Tom, from your own line, Captain Hook, I mean, clearly it's been riffed in on some... is it Captain Hook or do you do Mr. Darling as well?
No, it's just Captain
Hook. Just Captain Hook. So do you channel your inner pirate?
I do try. It's a terrifying role to kind of get the classiness of Captain Hook, but also a bit of the piratey scariness too.
Are you more motivated by Robert De Niro here, or are we talking about? I mean, are there any actors who sort of literally sort of moved you into in terms of that, or is it just a case of no? I'm the first Tom Watson.
Well, Dom talks a lot about Alan Rickman being Captain Hook, and so I've tried to channel that a little bit. But yeah, it's also tried to make it a little bit original and kind of take my own spin on Captain Hook.
For a moment though, I thought Dom was always sitting, very much, I have to say, Dominic, like Blofeld, really. You just need a white pussy cat.
That's the
performance thing. Yeah, it's all slow through there. Claire, we're going to invite you to actually join in with us as well shortly. Don't worry, because I know you're doing double duty with us from that point of view. But I thought we'd start off, actually, musically speaking, because, as you know, Judy, we always like to have some sort of theme here. What do you think? The Judd Conlon chorus and You Can Fly, You Can Fly, You Can Fly?
That sounds great.
Peter, how do we get to Neverland?
Fly, of course.
Fly?
It's easy. All you have to...
When there's a smile in your heart, there's no better time to start.
Think of all the joy you'll find when you leave the world behind.
And bid your cares goodbye.
That doesn't replace Jerusalem as the university anthem at graduation, I will never know. But still. let's turn to Dominic, because I suspect that when you were putting together this wonderful production, in association, of course, with kind permission of course, the J.M. Barrie Estate, or Great Ormond Street Hospital charity, because as is often the case, you can't run a Peter Pan production without having the Great Ormond Street people involved, and quite rightly so. Were you influenced at all by Disney, or did you think we want to make this as un-Disney as possible?
Well, of course, we had lots of things to influence us, not least J.M. Barrie's original play, but Disney factors in that as well, of course. And one of the things we have to bear in mind is what the audience will expect to see. It's interesting thinking about Hook, for example, because the Disney Hook is such a striking image with his red jacket and his particular look that it's, you know, that's something that kids will expect to see, I think, when they come at Christmas.
And, of course, the Robin Williams incarnation of Peter Pan in the movie Hook as well.
Absolutely, yeah, that's another influence that we've had.
You were there all the time. And let's not get started on Rachel Hurdwood and the PJ Hogan incarnation of Peter Pan. And, of course, there was Pan this year, but obviously the Peter Pan that we're going to see at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre between the 11th and 24th of December is infinitely better than that. Would be difficult. Claire, any questions for the cast, the director, anything else in this particular part? As an English student, clearly, you know, finally, you must still think this is one of the classics of English literature.
Yeah.
Fantasy?
It's definitely one of my favourite books ever, and we studied it in first year as well, which always brings back those memories of the time that has flown by, speaking of flying. when directing, in terms of direction, how much were you influenced by, obviously, the story that came after, out of the play?
Well, I suppose that's a question about the writing, really, more than anything. I guess there's a lot of factors that have gone into that, too. You know, there are some elements from the original that nowadays become a little bit problematic to stage. Mm-hmm. So, for example, we've taken out the entire storyline of the Native American Indians, and we've substituted a kidnapping plot of one of the other characters. Perhaps I shouldn't put in any spoilers at this stage. You'll have to come and see it to see who gets kidnapped. But so these are some of the things we have to bear in mind. There are still some elements of the original in there, including a couple of scenes which are more or less verbatim from the original play. As I say, it's fantastic to have that resource. And it's really nice to think that we've included something which was written over 100 years ago in something that will still appeal to families today.
I'm just impressed by how you actually get the miniaturisation to work for Tinkerbell.
Well, that takes an awful lot.
Do you have a teeny, teeny sort of student who's actually sort of a roller spine? You don't see her in seminars, but, you know, there she is.
You squeeze them very hard. Yeah.
It's just a thought. How has the whole process been going so far? And let's turn to Charlotte for this one. I mean, from the, because obviously now we're really building up. We're in that last sort of final routine. It'll be the everything's been sorted. Has it, how, from your own perspective, as well as obviously juggling presumably final year drama commitments as well.
Yeah. It's been incredible. It's been stressful because not only do we have 6 hours a week of lesson time, we then have to meet up outside and go to things like limbering and boot camp, character workshops, full runs. It's just about balancing it, but it's been so wonderful, and the cast were brilliant, and to work with Dom and Mark and Stacey and then other people, it's been a really, really good experience, and I'm so glad I did it.
In case you're listening on podcast, Nick Wilson, it's all right. She hasn't ignored you. It's just, obviously, you're no longer available. That's it. So, I said it for you. It's all right. We just wanted to make that sort of point there. Tom, similar sort of thing. I mean, boot camp sounds as though it's more reality TV as opposed to anything else.
Yeah, it's been quite hardcore in that sense. We've had to, because we're doing 22 shows, it's the longest run of shows that I've ever done. And so they've really tried to work on our stamina and building us up sort of fitness.
You can't go down with a voice problem on the second show.
No,
can you,
exactly.
Really?
We don't exactly, after 3 shows, we don't want to be exhausted and overworked. So it's kind of just about building us up to try and, which has been, amazing. We've had flu jabs as well to stop us getting the winter.
Fun. Yeah. Thanks, Tom.
So it's been, but it's felt really like professional and really like we have to push ourselves a lot further than I've done before as an actor.
And that's what the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre is all about, isn't it, Julie? Professionalism, quality, connecting with the media, all the sorts of things that obviously our students work through. He says, shameless and plugging the university. Julie, I'm just astounded by the fact that if you go for the Ruby performances, which are obviously the previews, mm-hmm. you can actually have £10 for all tickets. It's amazing.
It's really well priced. And also the school shows that we have, so it's the Emerald performances, which we expect a lot of schools to come to.
Should they wear green?
They can wear green if they like. They can come dressed as characters if they want to, if their school's at them. Get festive. We have tried to price the tickets really reasonably because we want as many people to come and experience this as possible. And we do have a kind of family ticket offer as well, £44 for...
Four people. Two adults, obviously.
Yeah, up to two adults. So it should be as accessible as possible to as many people as possible.
You can clearly go online to lpac.co.uk. See the way I did Zaylael pack there? Oh, I said it now.
You.
Yeah, there we are. lpac.co.uk. Yes, I still maintain that brand, Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. And as you said, the Emerald Performance is £12 adult, £10 for children, £5 for schools. That's presumably not the entire school. Just want to clarify that. Because somebody might try it on, Julie. You know, there are areas they say, yeah, well, we've got sort of 45 children here. That'll be £5. Thank you very much, you know.
They'll have to speak to our box office about that. So we have got a lot of schools booked in already. I mean, some schools, they plan ahead for the next year, so they book really far in advance because it's a really big deal to them to get their children out on a big trip like this. And even for our launch evening, our VIP night, we've got lots of groups of guides and brownies and scouts and cubs and beavers all coming to enjoy that as well. So I think there'll be a lot of people in Lincoln getting experience of this.
A feisty fairy friend called Tinkerbell. I come back to that once again, Dominic, because I'm intrigued with respect to this. Is this done in the round at all? I mean, just to describe the sort of stage, what sort of magical things can we expect to see?
Yes, it is done in the round. Mm-hmm. In fact...
So no hiding place, basically.
No, it's very difficult to perform exactly. in the round. And we've done this for the past few years, which is that coming up to Christmas, we transform the Performing Arts Centre into a round space. Actually, it's a rectangular space, so we have audience on four sides. And the Christmas show each year has been done in the round, as well as the Shakespeare season, which is coming up next week. So I should do a shameless plug for that, really.
I think you should.
Six Shakespeare shows going on next week.
So after all, without Bill Shakespeare, we wouldn't be as inspired today to have Inspired on Air. I mean,
absolutely, that's very true. So in the round, of course, that enables all of the audience to feel very intimately connected to the show that's going on. And of course, there's some fantastic moments of action and adventure. We've got sword fighting, for example. We've got flying. We've got some magical effects. We've got all sorts of things happening in the space.
See, you mentioned sword fighting there. I mean, health and safety. I know it's a way of actually sort of, you know, reducing the class numbers in drama, but really, you know, sometimes.
We're very fortunate in our school to have the skills of Andrew Ashenden, who's a nationally recognised stage combat coach. So he's been working with our cast to put together this exciting fight. And it's something that's quite unique, actually, for university drama departments to have this sort of facility.
So safe for health and safety. I'm surprised, really. The League of Ritz alone would be a nightmare. Michael, when's the last time you visited the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre for their winter show?
Haven't been to the winter show.
Julie.
Definitely keen on this one.
Absolutely.
We were there a couple of weeks ago to see Waiting for Godot.
Oh, did you enjoy it?
Yes. Yeah.
I'll obviously resist the obvious rejoinder. No, didn't. Is he still there?
He didn't turn up. I'm booked in for the Shakespeare. I'm going to have to miss one evening, but I'll give you that later on because it's a plug for myself, actually. But I am looking to kind of overdose on.
And indeed,
as well.
Coming up on Inspired on Air, this special November package that we actually have, or the pre-winter show, Lincoln Performance Arts Centre special, we actually will be giving a nod to the Lincoln Drill Hall and talking about their performance poetry nights. We'll be speaking to the assistant producer of Renaissance One and Tilt, Andy Cook. Claire, are you going to be sort of making the journey from Harrogate back down to Lincoln to check out the Peter Pan environment?
Of course. I mean, I'm going to see all the Shakespeare's as well. I booked my tickets a while ago, but I definitely want to see Peter Pan. It's one of my favourite shows, and I think that it's a bit different. It's not a generic sort of pantomime show.
Don't say that word. It's a winter show. Goodness sakes. It's going so
always
well. 20 minutes, 22 seconds in, and whoa.
Yes, the winter show.
Exactly.
I can't wait to see it. You know, I'm really looking forward to it. And it must be really hard juggling. I am a third year English student. It must be really tough juggling all that work. So it must be good for the younger students as well to see students perform in a big stage as well.
Oh, there we are. It's life, really. Juggling plates and all sorts of things. And of course, the great thing about Peter Pan, it's got pirates in as well. Seek some kind of medical treatment, really. Johnny Kidd and the Pirates. I wonder why we played them then. And Shaking All Over. It's inspired on air on Siren 107.3 FM and from the delights of Peter Pan at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, which we shall return to. We move now to an even more, no, equally exciting event. It's the Spoken Word Night at the venue on Friday, the 20th of November. A showcase of some of the finest East Midlands spoken word and poetry talent from Panya Banjoko, John Joe Coughlin, Annie Stoneman, Michael Brome, music from Psychomantis, creator of Vision Bombing, and indeed poets will be exploring the sights, sounds and daily interactions of their home cities to address this and talk about a whole variety of other bits and pieces as well. It's the one and only Andy Cook, assistant producer from Renaissance One and Tilt. Welcome to Inspired On Air, Andy.
Hello, good to be on the show.
So share with us, what is this all about? Because we have our wonderful poet extraordinaire in the studio, Michael Blackburn. He is agog with excitement with respect to what we're going to be experiencing in this area.
Yeah, it's going to be a really good show. What it is, it's produced by Renaissance One, which is a literature, live literature company, and they're working with the Lincoln Drill Hall on Friday to put this on. And it's a really special event because it's two events. It's a spoken word double bill. We've got Andrew Mulletproof Graves doing his show. It's a new show called God Save the Teen, as well as all the other poets you mentioned, you know, Ali Stoneman, Michael Brome, Panya Banjoko, Joe Coughlin, and the music from DJ Psychomantis. And their second half is called Living for the City. And that is their words and their perspectives and their stories about the life in the East Midlands. So it's a really interesting show. I mean, for one show, you get five poets and a musician.
That's
more than one evening.
Five poets and a musician, Michael. I mean, your thoughts on that alone?
Only one musician. Oh, I mean, five poets.
I'm sure they'll be able to handle the whole thing.
I'd say it sounds quite an interesting idea, this idea of working, finding material about the places that you live in. So you've got the people, you've got the spaces, and all kinds of things. So it sounds really, really intriguing. Is the musician going to be working with all poets?
Yeah, it's DJ Psychomantis, so he's done a soundtrack that kind of interweaves with the words and the stories that the poets tell. So it's an interesting multimedia event as well, you know, because you've got the kind of the atmosphere coming into the music, and then you've got the stories and the words coming in from the poets and their performances.
I do like the notion of vision bombing. I mean, it's like photo bombing, but the next generation. You know, you sort of dive in there, actually say, I'm vision bombing now.
Yeah, he's a very, very talented man. I think you can get that on visionbombing.com, or if you Google it, you'll definitely be able to find his stuff.
We will get that sorted, certainly. Let's introduce you to, again, another ace writer in the studio, and indeed the director of Peter Pan, which is the winter show for the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. That's Dominic Simmons. Dominic, is this the sort of thing which appeals to your good self, wearing your artistic hat and so on?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I'm very intrigued. I'm always intrigued by the way that we can link music with the spoken word and come up with different formats for things. I think that's a fantastic way for all performance forms to work.
particularly impressed with the notion of God Save the Teen. But it's important this, because actually, Claire, we will be featuring Andrew Graves, but obviously, let's get his title rights, Andrew Mulletproof Graves, on forthcoming edition of the Midweek Drive. So as he's actually produced God Save the Teen... because after all, teenager only emerged in the 1950s in America, as most social scientists will agree, as a way of actually getting people to buy more things. Sorry, it's my bitterness coming out there. It's not anti-consumerism at all.
Yeah, because of that in the show, I think.
Well, good to hear. Good to hear. That's through from that point of view. But in terms of Andrew's work, described as being hip, edgy, taking on popular culture and the dark underbelly of the city.
Yeah, that's right. Mulletproof has got a really... I've been struggling for an adjective to really sum him up, but like there's a I think war and gritty are good adjectives to get Mulletproof with. He's a really good poet in that he champions the underdogs and the underclasses and wants to give voice to those perspectives. So he's not one of these highfalutin poets. He's not going to pull a skull out of his pocket and hold it up to the skylight or anything like that. He's kind of talking in our language.
Let's just test that with Michael Blackburn, obviously a highfalutin poet. Have you ever sort of been tempted in one of your sort of postgraduate classes to pull a skull out of your pocket and kind
I
of...
Just, I do point? This all the time in my reading.
Exactly. I can vouch for it, obviously.
Yeah, it depends on whose skull it is.
Of course, the very notion of actually having mulletproof in that... I mean, Claire, do you remember the mullet, or was it something that emerged before your time on the planet Earth?
I do actually remember it, yeah.
Do you remember the mullet? Yeah. Okay, and Charlotte, do you remember the mullet?
Yeah, I think I kind of knew about it when it started to die out, which I think is a good thing.
I'm ashamed to say I used to have one.
And it has to be said, I mean, I think, Tom, you could, if you could get a bit more, you could develop a mullet look there.
I think it's sadly happening. It's, well,
is it that Captain Hook, but with a sort of mullet theme that you're looking for in that sort of scenario? But being mullet-proof, is that a case of literally, if you do have a mullet and you have any sort of fondness for Limahl, for instance, or indeed former Radio 1 DJs called Gary, you shouldn't really attend?
I think that's the calling, yeah. Or if you've survived the whole mullet, the mullet craze. Yeah. No. Like a vaccine, you're mullet proof now.
I like that. Yeah. So it's like you've been through the plague, so what's the worst that can happen?
I think we're giving the mullet a bad, you know, I think we've been maybe a bit too harsh on the mullet here. Maybe there's mulleted listeners.
Andy, you're quite right, and that's why you are a top assistant producer. Let's not be too harsh on the mullet. You know, we've already had challenges with respect to whether schools can actually have complete entry just for paying £5, so it's like it's a different joke. This is coming up on Friday. Just share with us, how can be our tickets still available? Is it a case of you turn it on the box office? How do they actually get involved to see this fantastic event?
Absolutely. So it's Lincoln Drill Hall. It starts at 7:30. Tickets are £6, or tickets are £8, sorry, and concessions are £6. You can definitely buy tickets online. It's lincolnsvillehall.com, and we're in the special section, so head over to the special section. Or there should be some tickets on the door if you don't manage to do that.
So I know...
7:30 at the Lincoln Drill Hall.
This coming Friday, of course. Which is November the 20th. Yes. Now, will you be able to attend, Claire?
Yeah, I definitely think that's something I'd be really interested in. I love spoken word poetry. So.
I mean, we'll get some clips from the point of view. We thought we'd ease back on that. Will you have the time to actually attend, Charlotte?
I don't think I will.
No?
But also, I'm going to do a shameless plug for the Outback now. I'm really sorry. There's a show on called Dracula. My best friend Mark McCready is playing Dracula.
At the same time?
At the same time!
Unbelievable!
My God.
Andy, I mean, you know, what can we say? I mean, you know, I like Dracula, I like spoken word, but, you know, we should do a Harry Enfield scenario here. You can actually sort of come down, make the decision and work on that sort of basis, clearly. I mean, you know, Michael, I know you're looking shocked at that, you know, putting Dracula in any way, shape or form ahead of the fabulous Andrew Mulletproof Graves, but sometimes it does happen.
Well, I do teach Dracula, but so I'd be confident.
What have you taught him? How to suck blood? Sorry.
You know, how to brush his teeth.
It's a film critic routine, or as somebody once said, counts Dracula, 1, 2, 3. It's a whole strange new world. Again, Renaissance One, Lincoln Drill Hall are presenting God Save the Teen, and we haven't mentioned Living for the City, Poetry, Music and Spoken Word on East Midlands City Life. So in a sense, I can understand, given that three of our co-presenters today have actually admitted to being from the new towns of Hitchin and Letchworth. Charlotte, where are you from?
No, I was born in Welwyn Garden City.
Born in Welwyn Garden City. Yeah. You might sort of realise that maybe it would be too strong to actually go for Michael Brome from Leicester, Ali Stoneman from Nottingham, Joe Coughlin from Derby, Psycho Mantis. I do a Psycho Mantis. It's great. Not too scary, I trust, from the... Anyway, Psycho Mantis from Leicester, and of course Panya Banjoko from Nottingham, from tales as a youth worker to experiences in care and poverty, from poems about both fractious and loving family relationships to accounts of starry-eyed punks and disappearing goths. The two shows will present sounds and words of the city and of East Midlands, and you can go to obviously renaissance1.co.uk/events to find out some of these fabulous scenarios on that particular basis. It's been a blast in every sense of the word, and I think you would obviously we would agree that Andrew Gray's, he deserves a round of applause. Come on, just a round of applause for us. Because much as in the same way we had to have somebody stepping in for Nick Wilson, Andy stepped in for somebody called Mel. It's genius. Just shows quality is there in every sense of the word. Andy, we salute you. We will speak again, I'm sure, as far as the whole process is actually concerned. Will there be a kind of ongoing tour of this particular event, which has been described by the Cheltenham Poetry Festival as blisteringly brilliant? Blisteringly brilliant.
Yeah, we were in the Derby Silk Mill last month. And so this is the second date that we've had so far. But you definitely follow Renaissance One on Twitter. It's at Renaissance One. And if you can spell Renaissance right the first time, you get a little invisible clap from me.
Hey.
At Renaissance One. And there'll be more details of where the show's going to go after this. Exactly. Yeah, we're really excited about it.
It'll gradually take over the world, I think. What you need is a kind of mash-up, though. I mean, we'll have to put you in touch with Dominic and get sort of the winter show for next year, Peter Pan meets Renaissance Theatre with mullets.
Well, yeah.
I think that's the sort of thing which would clearly sort of have a market somewhere.
Yeah.
Teenagers in Tokyo and Peter Pan. Colliding movement with music, this physical retelling of the Dracula tale shows the stories our bodies can really tell.
Sounds like a lot of supernatural baloney to me.
Supernatural, perhaps. Baloney, perhaps not.
I couldn't resist a bit of Bela Lugosi being slotted into place there. It's very important. You're absolutely right. Although I will actually say that Dracula : those red lips, Charlotte, you could possibly actually do a double head. You could see, because it's only 50 minutes, you see, Dracula.
Can I go to both? This is so
exciting. Well, this is it.
I'm going to do it all. Yeah.
You could actually do, as Phil Collins once did in the early days of Live Aid, start off at the old Wembley Stadium and fly across the Atlantic. You could actually travel up
Phil
the
Collins
hill, exactly, from the
it.
Lincoln Performing Arts Centre to the Drill Hall to see Dracula, those red lips at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, and then up to see the poetry event later. There we are. Ever, as we said, we can't call
about
it. and will you come back to Siren and report?
I will.
Well, then there we are. That's the task has been set and laid through. Let's talk a little bit about Dracula, those red lips, because this is something which, again, looks fascinating in every sense of the word. I mean, yeah, £8 full ticket, £6 confession, confessions. Yeah, I think we should actually have a reduction for confessions as well. Why should you actually have your sins repealed and go to this particular aspect? But what is it that appeals to your good self? I mean, is it a case of more character? Would you sort of say, oh, yes, I can see in Mina and Miss Harker the kind of foundation for Wendy? Both gothic heroines after a time.
Who knows? But I do physical theatre as another module, and it's a physical theatre piece. So I think going to see as much theatre based around that as possible will hopefully try and inspire me. And if there's inspiration for Wendy, then I'll take that too.
That's why Inspired on Air is such a prophetic show in every sense of the word. Unaware of the dangers that lurk within, Jonathan Harker finds himself a prisoner in the Count's company. In the shadows prowl his three vampire brides, wanting and waiting with their lustful souls. As the danger increases, the doors close in. where's Peter Pan when you need him? Outrageous. Michael, any questions for the cast, the writer, or indeed, you know, anybody in general about life, the universe and such like? Over to you, sir.
The Dracula sounds really intriguing, as I was just thinking about. I had to go back to what you said about Bela Lugosi. Mm.
The children of the night, what sweet music they make.
Music, it's brilliant. I advise my students to watch that clip on YouTube, because it's fantastic. Yeah. I'm just thinking what kind of relevance is people finding it now? Because we've seen all the vampire stuff in the last 10, 15 years, haven't we, in terms of fiction and TV and so on, and it's sort of yielded a bit to zombies, who are a different type of vampire. Mm-hmm. But vampires are still pretty important. So I'm just wondering why.
Consumers, isn't it? It's that idea of we love to consume, we love to buy things, take things, have things, and
or simply fear of the unknown, as Edward Said said.
Just having a great taste for blood.
Well,
there we are. Who would have thought? I thought we'd done the Halloween special. I mean, Sarah Bullen, who's currently actually on a Shakespearean tour, living in a wonderful sort of building somewhere in the country. I forget where. It's all right. We'll find out by the end of the show. Should we say blood? Blood? What's going on there? You know? What's happened to Inspired On Air? So are tickets still available, Julie, for Dracula, Those Red Lips?
They are still available. I mean, it's actually selling really, really well. So we've got a really good audience already. But if you are still looking for something to do on your Friday night, and, yeah, you can still fit in going to a draw hall as well, then, yeah, I definitely recommend booking your tickets in advance rather than waiting to buy them on the door.
It's just as well this is being rerun as a full sort of episode on Thursday, just the night before, as well as obviously the Wednesday. So
that's very handy.
Yes, isn't it?
To anyone listening on Thursday,
yes.
Book your tickets now.
See, that's called Dealing with the Machine. And if you're listening to it on a podcast and it's past the 20th of November, sorry. Get a time machine.
Yeah.
Go to Peter Pan.
Come to Peter Pan instead. Very, very. All will be well. With hold. Okay, still to come, we're going to be having a little tease ahead, starting the wonderful tease ahead out of the wonderful fresh world of next season. We will be time travelling next season to the whole sort of sequence that will be at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. But finally, we're going to sort of... I said this a little bit of prep, because I know we've got all sorts of things to work through, including Claire needs to head off to prep for 2001 A Space Odyssey.
I do.
Yeah. Just psych oneself up for the dawn of man, the ascent of man, the star routine, and don't take the line of the only way you can watch 2001 A Space Odyssey on the big screen is to be stoned beforehand. Don't do that.
I'll try to resist.
But the question I'll be putting to the whole cast is, why, in a short phrase, is Peter Pan the unmissable show for the winter season? Okay? In the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, why is it? You don't answer now. I'm going to sort of just to build up from that sort of point of view, because I think it's only important. Meanwhile, I think we'll just take a little blast of Visage. Maybe you should put away those childish things, or maybe not. Writer and director Dominic Simmons, why should they come and see your Peter Pan at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre between the 11th and the 24th of December 2015?
Well, what's not to like? There's pirates, there's lost boys, there's tropical jungle, there's pirate ships, there's a deserted desert island, there's everything you could ask for in Christmas time when the weather's not exactly on our side, so...
If you have issues with Christmas, it's a holiday season. So happy holidays, happy Hanukkah, whatever. It's a show. It's the winter show. Let's go with that. Julie.
Hi.
Why should
same
they go
question.
And see it? Yeah, same question.
Question. Oh, sure. Okay. For me, it's just about that magic of going to the theatre at Christmas time, really. It's such a big tradition for so many families now.
And it's such a delight to go to a show which doesn't have, he's behind you.
Yeah,
no. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, yes, please. I know that's
we don't use the P
no,
word.
Exactly.
Here.
We don't.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, Lincoln has got some fantastic pantomimes. I would recommend going to see those as well. But it's just lovely and refreshing to have such a wonderful, high quality, classic Christmas family show to go and see at the theatre.
Captain Hook, no, Tom Watson. You see, already he's in the character so much that I thought, for a moment, whoa. Anyway, why should people come and see you at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre as Captain Hook?
Well, I think hopefully it's just going to be an amazing Christmassy show that everyone will go home smiling and feeling perhaps a little bit scared by my performance, but also that they want to be a pirate too. And kind of
have you
that
got
sense
any bus tours coming up from Hitchin to actually see the...
yeah, I've got lots of people coming up.
Important.
But no, it should be an amazing Christmassy show. Full of exciting stuff for everyone.
And multitasker extraordinaire, and the person who actually sort of gave an early sort of notion to women's liberation before suffragette even came onto the airwaves with respect to the character of Wendy, the incarnation of Charlotte Page. Charlotte, why?
Because it's a wonderful family show. There is something for everyone, for boys, for girls. There are references that the adults will get, not explicit before anybody says anything.
Yeah, I mean, you said it was the adult Peter Pan.
There are Sound of Music references and this sort of thing that the adults will get, and we've got a wonderful set, a fantastic cast. So it should be something really quite magical and spectacular.
See, I used to like the word intertextuality to describe things like that. It's very good.
It's good.
I think so. Perhaps a bit pretentious, but I don't know. Okay. Right, Julie, those sizzling sequences which clearly need a show of their own, which will have a show of their own, because they will, in terms of where we're going with the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre after, I mean, you know, people say after the 24th of December, what can we cope with? How can we actually... But there are future events, including The Great Gatsby.
Yeah, The Great Gatsby is coming to us. So it's hard to think past Christmas, really, and into the new year, but we have just signed off and gone to print on our new season brochure for spring in 2016. So in a couple of weeks' time, we will be sending it out to people through their doors, or you can pop into our box office and pick up a copy for yourself as well. I've got some personal highlights.
I'm sure you always have, Julie.
It's so hard to cherry pick. It's a really strong programme. There's so much going on in it. So you mentioned Great Gatsby. That's going to be a really fun show. I think a lot of people will enjoy that. My personal favourite, maybe because I'm a mum to a young girl, but we have Easterville happening again this year. So that's us working with the Lincoln Drill Hall and the Collection Usher Galleries and also the Teviot Hall Theatre. So there's going to be a whole host of family-friendly events happening at all of these venues over the Easter break. Including my personal favourite, we have Harry McClary's Cat Tales. I love Harry McClary.
The Harry McClary.
So,
Jonathan's Dairy.
That's the one. So Nonsense Room Productions are bringing Harry McClary to us. So I'm so excited about to come and see that. I know my daughter's at the right age for it as well.
Clearly, Julie's so excited, she's become beside herself, really. She's amazing.
So that's a really good one. But also, for older audiences, people who don't have children, but want to go out for theatre, I would really, really highly recommend coming to see Payne's Ploughs with a Little Bit of Luck. So this is it's a little bit different for us. We're actually taking it into the bar and engine shed. So it's a kind of 18-plus audience because it's in a bar environment.
It's very dark in the engine shed as well, really.
Well, because
scary.
It's not theatre as you know it.
No.
So it's sort of like a rave. It is a performance.
It's a rave.
But it's a rave. this is theatre that you can rave to.
With a mullet?
I'm not sure if mullets are going to be allowed. but we're standing room only. So a very, very different theatre experience, about as far away from Harry McClary as you can probably get.
But what a tremendous mashup that would be.
Yeah, definitely.
Never a House of Harry McClary, you know. Could be a...
And then something a little bit more classic, which I think most people appreciate, is Shakespeare 400, which is a Shakespeare festival, and we have the Globe's Shakespeare Untold coming to us. So it's a double bill event.
Who would have thought we'd actually managed to squeeze in Dracula, Peter Pan, Harry McClary, Barry McClary?
Harry McClary.
Harry McClary. Michael Blackburn. Claire, it had to happen. Claire Margerison. There we are. It's also she thought it was Dominic Simmons, Charlotte Fage, and Tom Watson on the same programme. Nick Wilson, what did you miss? Sarah Bullimore is in Halifax. Halifax.
Hi, Sarah.
From 8 a.m. through to 10 p.m. throughout. She's in a Victorian theatre there, dealing with all sorts of things there. And, of course, the Renaissance One Spoken Word Night, which we also mentioned in full force. That's pretty much it, then. The wrap has been signalled. Some of us are off to actually sort of screen 2001 A Space Odyssey. Others are actually off to do all sorts of exciting things at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre and so on. Is it a case of when's the next rehearsal, from your point of view?
Tomorrow.
Got
a full run tomorrow.
Or Friday if it's Thursday. As far as Siren FM is actually concerned, we've got more magical, wonderful things coming into, so I think it's Headspace that might be sort of emerging, so it's just fantastic. But not on Thursdays. Thursdays is something completely different. And if you're listening online, well, that's it. Thank you for your time, folks. It's been a wonderful time, and we leave you with, well, do you think Pirates of the Caribbean, is that too cliched? I mean, you know, sort of Pirates theme, do you think so?
Yeah.
I think that's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, we have, there's been work.
Great song.
Okay, then. Dominic, okay for you?
Of course. It's a classic.
Splendid. Can we say bye-bye? Actually, sorry, I forgot a thing. I mean, Julie obviously would have reminded me afterwards, said that we always wrap up the Lincoln Inspired show by saying, be inspired. Okay, so that's the sort of thing. That's the sort of the mantra of this whole sort of sequence. So, a one, two, a three.
Be inspired.